94.5 WELY, it's the end of the road radio. It is time for our weekly wilderness update, brought to us by the BWCAW Coalition, funded by Lake County and St. Louis County, talking about what's going on here in our great North Woods. And I am joined today by fishing guide extraordinaire. Yeah, I said it. Jim Orcutt. How are you, Jim?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing pretty well.
Not quite extraordinaire, but moving up the ladder.
You're pretty good. Yeah. I got to say, you have brought me the most fishing success that I've had here.
Woo-hoo.
In the Northland. So.
Well, I try hard.
I know you do. I know you do.
One of the keys. If people can tell you're trying hard, that's makes all the difference.
Absolutely. How's your season been so far?
June's been really, really busy. July and August are so-and-so, and September's not looking too bad. So.
Okay.
Yep.
As far as fishing success?
Well, it's been started off really good and slowed down a little bit. You know, the weather's been really weird.
Yeah, it
that
has.
Affects the fish. You
For
know.
Sure.
You know, we had a really, really warm stretch where the water temperature warmed up really quickly, and then it cooled down a little bit. And so I use that excuse all the time on the boat. It's the weather.
Well, and it's a legitimate excuse because our weather can be so ridiculous here.
Yeah.
You know, we found that out early in June when we had 1 week where there were temperatures in the 20s overnight, and then a week later, high temps in the 90s.
Yeah.
We had some frost warnings earlier this week, and then temps back up into the 80s.
I wore silk white long underwear and wool socks yesterday, so... You know, when it's going to be 55 degrees and windy, you know, you got to dress for it, so.
Yeah, for sure, especially when you're out on the water.
Yeah.
Because you never, and that's typical of weather around here. You just can never really be certain what to expect. And I always say, if it's raining and you don't like that weather, just give it 10 minutes. It'll change. Don't
that's worry. What it did yesterday. It rained about every 10, 15 minutes.
Right. So you've been, how long have you been guiding up here?
Oh, I'd say at least 15 years.
Okay.
So it's hard to keep track of them. I have a hard time remembering how long I've been up here. So, but I'd say at least 15 years.
Yeah, the years roll by fast.
Yep.
Yeah, all of a sudden it's been a decade.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
So what are some of the trends that you've seen? I mean, primarily people want to go after walleye, and that's kind of your specialty, is getting people out there after the walleye.
Yep.
What are some of the trends that you've seen over the years as far as how fishing has changed?
I'd say the biggest thing is electronics. With down imaging and side imaging, and now they have something called live imaging. You can actually see the fish swimming and chasing your lures and stuff like that.
Wow.
And I'm not sure how I feel about it, because I've seen some shows where they're fishing, and it's almost like they're paying more attention to their screen than they are their fishing. I think it's taken away from the actually learning to fish, and, you know, I don't know. It just seems a little over the top.
Kind of indicative of our culture in general.
Yeah, yeah.
More attention to the screens than what's going on in the real world.
Yep, that's true.
Yeah.
So that's probably, I'd say that's probably the biggest change in fishing, I'd say, in the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So is the electronics that people are using these days. But, the lures, I mean, the lures seem to stay the same. You catch fish on the same thing year after year after year. So there hasn't been many changes in that.
What do you typically, use artificial bait? Do you use live bait? What tends to work best for you?
Mostly live bait.
Mostly live bait. So leeches?
Minnows in the beginning of the year, then start moving to leeches and crawlers. But I use minnows all year long.
Okay.
A lot of people are like, they don't understand that, but I'm like, well, fish eat fish all year long. You know, they're not going to quit eating fish. So.
Yeah, that's for sure.
The hardest part is keeping them alive.
Right.
Know? But, and then disposing them when you're done. So that's a big thing now, too.
Yep. And we've talked quite a bit on this segment about the spread of invasive species and keeping that, you know, what's in one lake confined to that lake and not spreading it. And so a big part of that is disposing of your bait. You use bait on one lake, then dispose of it properly, not bringing that water and all those other possible, you know, aquatic invasives to other lakes.
Yeah, it's also not even just the water. I mean, a lot of the bait will have, like, bullheads in it and, you know, minnows are and fish that aren't native to this area. So,
sure.
I mean, I've cleaned northerns that we've caught on Chagua that have had bullheads in their belly.
Wow.
So, and now we're getting at, one of the bait stores, they have bags that, you know, tell you to, it's right on the bag. It says, please dispose of your bait, you know, or I can't remember how it's phrased, but, and then also there's a disposal sites at a couple of the landings now.
Sure, yep.
So you can dump your bait in that, I guess.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. Well, and it's pretty important for people to follow that. I mean, you know, we talked earlier this season with Lee Frelick from the University of Minnesota and talking about hydrology and the, you know, the very unique hydrology of our region up here and how basically what happens in one lake will spread to the north all the way through the boundary waters.
Yep.
And so it's really important to kind of educate people on that and make sure that they're disposing of their bait properly and they're not introducing non-native fish species or, you know, taking water from one lake and spreading it to another.
Yeah, night crawlers are even considered an invasive species, so they don't want you dumping those, you know.
Right.
They'd rather have them go in the garbage can than, you know, on the ground. So.
For sure.
But.
So your typical anglers are going to be out looking for trophy walleyes. Is that generally what you look for? Is that generally what you find?
Well, they,
or
they just
want to catch fish.
They want to catch fish. Yeah. I mean, I think people just want something pulling on the end of their pole, you know.
Yeah.
But a lot of people, you know, they're looking for walleyes. Most people come up, you know, it's a state fish, Minnesota,
for sure.
You know, walleyes. And so people from out of state, you know, they're looking for walleyes. A lot of people look for smallmouth bass. So we do that. And I typically don't target panfish a lot, but, you know, we'll catch those along with the walleyes and stuff. So, but typically it's, you know, walleye fishing. And you get a few people that want to catch northerns, too. I mean, they're fun to catch.
They're fun to catch, yeah.
Yeah. As long as they let you know ahead of time. So you can have the proper equipment. So.
Yeah, for sure. It's very different going after different types of fish. And so you get a lot of guests that want to do, because you're a chef by trade.
Yep.
So you get a lot of people that like to do the shore lunch.
Yeah.
How does that work out?
Hopefully it works out well. I mean, you know, that's the big thing is catching, you know, fish for shore lunch. And you can have a mediocre day, but if you have enough fish for shore lunch, I mean, people are really happy. I mean,
that's great.
And the funny thing is they're always like, oh, you cooked way too much fish. You cooked way too much fish and it's all gone.
I'm like,
where's all that fish you said I cooked too much of, you know? But shore lunch is a big deal. I mean, some people like it, and then there's the others who, you know, they just want to continue fishing. They don't want to stop, you know, for an hour and a half or whatever. And
especially if you're catching.
Yeah, you know, we've had shore lunch later in the day because the fishing's been pretty good.
Yeah, that's great.
We've had it later in the day because the fishing hasn't been very good. So,
what are your kind of rules about what fish you keep, what fish are the best for eating, which ones you want to just get a picture of and put it back?
Yeah. Typically, I like to keep 13 to 18-inch walleyes.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like they grow fastest to that size. And they say that the 18 to 24-inch walleyes are the better spawn, you know, the better spawning fish. So typically, we're looking for that. There's a state slot where you can have one over 20 inches.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's also individual lakes that have different limits, different size limits. The white iron chain has between 17 and 26 inches on walleyes. You have to let them go. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, like I said, they consider those the prime spawning size. So.
Right.
But, and then sometimes, you know what I mean? Sometimes it's tough to catch one 13 inches long.
Right.
You know, and then you're catching them on white iron, you're catching all over 17 inches. So it's like, we got to find something to eat. But like I said, you know, 13 to 18 inches. And I always tell people, you don't want to eat an old chicken or an old cow. You know, why would you want to eat an old fish? So, but that's kind of my philosophy.
And the smaller fish, the younger fish tend to have less things like mercury and things like that in them too. So that's always a plus.
And people are really good about not keeping the bigger fish. You know, they take a picture or two and let the fish go, but people generally have been really good about that. So
that's good to hear. And I remember you told me something one of the first times I went fishing with you that really stuck with me, and it was the CPR. catch, photograph, release.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And that really stuck with me and gave me an appreciation for just the idea that you catch a fish, you can get in the boat, you can get a picture of it, and then put it back and maybe catch it again sometime.
Yeah, or somebody else can have the chance
exactly.
to, you know, catch a fish of a lifetime. So,
yeah, for sure.
You know, but, yeah, it's pretty important. And it's a, you know, the fish aren't a renewable resource. It's you know, you got to take care of it, otherwise it's not going to be there, you know. Mm-hmm. And not every lake is stocked, and some fish are more fragile than others, and so you got to make sure you take care of it. So.
Yeah. Well, it's great to hear that perspective from somebody that, you know, you're on the water just about every day.
Yep.
And making a living, bringing people out and finding out where to catch the fish and hopefully getting people onto the fish. And you probably wouldn't be doing as well as you have if you weren't finding the fish, if you weren't turning people onto them.
That's true. I mean, you have, there's days where you have tough days and stuff like
sure.
that. But like I said, if people can see that you're making an effort and, you know, not just, you know, winging it or whatever, I mean... And it's amazing how many people, when you do have a tough day and it's a beautiful day, there's hardly any wind, it's flat, calm, and sunny, and they're like, this is so nice.
Yeah.
And I'm like, really? And they're like, oh, this is great. And I'm like, okay.
It beats working.
Yeah. Yep. And, well, they all say it's better than a day at work. And I'm like, well, this is my work.
So, yeah.
But it's amazing how many people just enjoy being out on the boat. And
for sure.
You know. And enjoying the experience.
For sure. Well, and it's a great opportunity for people to go out with someone that knows the lakes, that knows the best lures and the best bait to use and the best spots on the lakes to take them to.
And, they, you know, learning some new techniques and stuff like that. That's always, people are always interested in, you know, learning new things. And a lot of people are set in their ways on how they fish. And if you can show them something different, you know, they like that.
That's great.
Yep.
Very cool. Well, tell people how to get a hold of you if they want to book a fishing trip with you.
You can get a hold of me at jim@jimthefishguy.com, or the telephone number is 218-349-3658.
Awesome. Well, good luck fishing for the rest of the season.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure having you here. Yeah. And we'll check in with you a little bit later on in the season and get an update on how things have gone. And I know we've got an incredibly busy summer. Last year was busy despite what we anticipated because of COVID.
Yep.
This summer is ridiculous. I mean, we are so deep into summer, so early on, it's really hard to believe. So,
it's amazing.
Yeah. So, well, good luck to you.
Thank you very much
for joining us.
Yep, it was a pleasure.
Appreciate it. Jim Orcutt, a.k.a. Jim the Fish Guy, giving us the lowdown on fishing here in the Northland. And our weekly wilderness update is brought to you by the BWCA Coalition, in partnership with federal, state, nonprofit, and business organizations, with the aim of preventing the introduction of aquatic invasive species into the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness. And they bring us our weekly wilderness update every week right here on the End of the Road Radio. This is WELY.